It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you biting off a brain now. I myself am on the brain. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even I just want you in my arms again, and we can search each other's dreams.
What's up, freebies? What's up, Diamond Dogs? What's up, Athletic Gerbils? All morning I told myself I was going to change that opening, but then I didn't, you know? Old habits die hard. With a vengeance, it's Rhea Butcher, the host of this here podcast, which is called Three Swings. It's a podcast about baseball and other things. Hey, thanks for helping us celebrate our 100th episode. That sure was fun. Seeing the episode on the Apple Podcast featured page and hearing so much from you all about why you like the show, even if you don't like baseball, which is honestly my most favorite. But don't lie to me. If you like baseball and you like the show, I like that one too. I just like that one because so many people tell me they don't listen to my podcast because they don't like baseball. So, hey, you should listen, even if you don't like baseball, because sometimes here's the rub. I don't like baseball. I love baseball so much. Sometimes I don't like it. Big shout out to Paul F. Tompkins for being a guest on that show. Really great to see him and hear him and have friends on the podcast and in our lives. what else is going on for me? Since then, that was Monday. Today's Friday. It's been insanely hot in Los Angeles. We have had another heat wave. So there's been a lot of really great organizations like Water Drop LA, People's City Council, Albert Corrado, who is now running for city council in Los Angeles. I'm not sure how much I've gotten into city council in Los Angeles. If you live in Los Angeles and you live in CD4, City Council District 4, which is roughly Los Feliz, Silver Lake, Sherman Oaks, and then some other parts. Go online, just type in what Los Angeles City District am I? And you can find out very easily with your zip code. And if you find out that you're in CD4, let me take this moment on my podcast that I own to endorse Nithya Raman for City Council District 4. I will be phone banking for her this Saturday with my dear friend and friend of the show, Adam Conover. You may know him from shows such as Adam Ruins Everything. And then there is a show on Nickelodeon that was fun that he did. I don't know. Anyway, you know who he is. If you listen to this podcast, you know who Adam Conover is. I'm doing a phone bank for her. So if you live in Los Angeles and you live in CD4, please vote Nithya Raman. She is exactly the kind of person we need in positions like LA City Council. I am getting into this because even if you don't live here, I've talked about this a lot this year because I've been frustrated with baseball and frustrated with politics and government. And everywhere there are, if you are a person who's finding yourself frustrated with the presidential election for whatever reason, you can put your efforts into other things. You don't have to. I'm not here to judge you. If you don't want to do a damn thing except for show up and vote, or you don't want to vote. I'm not going to judge you. You are an American citizen. You get to do what you want. But I would also encourage you to participate in electoral politics as much as you possibly can. But again, I'm not sneering at you because I just don't think that does anything good. So I bring all of this up to say there's definitely somebody running for something somewhere near you that you can get into. And we are in the home stretch and it's not too late. In fact, it's right on time. So like I can't vote for Nithya Raman. I don't live in her district anymore. I lived in her district for 7 years and now I don't. So I can't vote for her. However, I am phone banking for her because somebody like her could be on LA City Council. And that will affect me as a person who lives in Los Angeles, because if she can affect change within the city council, that's going to affect me. If she gets my council member to vote more progressively and move towards more progressive policies like defunding the police and funding things like education and community services, then that's going to help me and my neighbors. So nothing is too small and nothing is too big. Everything is possible. You can do it. If you don't want to talk to people on the phone, you can write postcards. I did that with some friends for Sunrise Movement. That was great. It was a lot of fun. I felt good afterwards. So these are the things we can do. To me, it's self-care. I'm finding something I can do, and I'm finding something I can help, and nothing is too small. Just like some of you telling somebody to listen to this podcast and them doing that. It is not too small. It's not. Because I would rather look at never thinking something is too small than, man, it's never big enough, you know? And I used to be that way all the time. I still can be. It's not like gone all the way. However, I just realized how much I used to do that. And like, oh my God, your life feels so, at least I'll say this, my life felt so empty because I was looking at what I didn't have instead of what I've got, you know? And so if I can see that nothing is too small, then making something bigger than it needs to be just isn't that important to me, you know? And it doesn't happen as quickly. So that's helpful. I also just want to say, because it's been on my mind, and so taking a chance, things in living through a pandemic, in living through a social uprising, a civil rights uprising, the movement for Black Lives, the consistent and persistent and unending, feeling that the empire is crumbling, that sort of just existential dread of the current American state. A lot of people are, and this show often advertises therapy. And so I just want to put out there, as a person who has gone to therapy, continues to seek therapy, goes to it, it's not the be-all, end-all of everything. I think sometimes something is a tool, and then we pick it up and we start beating people with it. And I just want to take a moment to say, if you've gone to therapy and it doesn't feel good to you, that's okay. you can keep going to different versions, and you can keep trying to find somebody that helps, but, it's all part of a collective. Tools are plural for a reason. If you're a good carpenter, to use a metaphor, or you're a good builder, let's say, you don't carry a toolbox to a site that just has one Phillips screwdriver in it. You bring a bunch of tools, and then other people on the site have tools too, and then typically you share them. And so I just want to take a moment to sort of soften, at least in our little world that we have here together, I just want to soften the conversation around it that go to therapy is not the only thing to say. And perhaps we can say it in different ways to each other that we can just say, I've gone to therapy and it's helped. And I mean, I'll be honest, I had a very bad experience with a therapist over a long amount of time. And I'm grateful for it because it gave me a lot of perspective, but it gave me the ability to say this right now with, believing it, which is that it's not the be all end all of everything. But I just wanted to share that with everybody because we're going through so much and there are many things you can do to feel good. There are many things you can do to feel self-esteem and to feel energized and recharged. And something that's really helped me out a lot is giving myself permission to do the things I need to do to feel better. Like if I'm feeling really down and I'm like, I want to watch TV right now, I give myself permission to watch like 2 hours of TV and then I check in with myself after that. And just saying like, hey, we're going to watch a little TV for about 2 hours. Sounds good, right? Let's just like really get into it. And it has completely changed the whole thing. And I don't feel guilty afterwards and I don't beat myself up afterwards. And sometimes I'll watch one more and then get into something else. And it's like just something that simple like that. So that was something that was suggested to me. So I'm passing it along to my friends on this podcast and just letting you know that that has helped me tremendously in the past month or so. So that's just a fun little thing. And it's like really being kind to myself about it too, like very gentle, slowing down, really checking in. I mean, it's funny that like for a while at the beginning of the pandemic, everything just stopped and everything slowed down and our pace changed. And then, you know, we're just human beings and we get back to a frantic pace when we're feeling our feelings and feeling stress. And like one of the most powerful things you can do is really just like slow down, you know, and just like check in with yourself and see how you're feeling. Listen to yourself and see what you need. Also just want to say I was reading this before I got on the pod to record it. I wanted to read the whole thing, but it's a long form piece, which I highly recommend doing that too, not just reading headlines on Twitter, reading a whole thing and like really reading it. But it's on ESPN.com and it's by Howard Bryant, who is one of my favorite writers on there. And the title is Police Protest, Pandemic, and the End of the 9/11 Era. I think it's I'm about a quarter of the way through, and I think it's an incredible read, and everybody should check it out if you're looking for something. It's from about 3 days ago, but still resonating, even though I, like, just the idea when I opened the tab was like resonating with me, just thinking like, what is this going to be? And then getting into it, it's like, it's a very important one. So highly recommend that one. Highly recommend slowing down, giving yourself permission, and softening yourself around the things you share with other folks. And with that, we'll be back after this beautiful ad read with a sort of rundown and a wrap up of most of, what is it? 9 out of 10? How many games, how many series were there? Most of the first round, the wild card round of the 2020 postseason March Madness of Major League Baseball, men's Major League Baseball, right after this. What a beautiful ad read. We got to pay that person a little bit more. All right, so here it is, the playoffs. I didn't know if I was going to get into the postseason, if you've been here this whole season. Also, can I just say some folks who were interested in asking questions for the 100th episode asked me a lot of questions about, like, why do you like baseball? And, you know, how do you get into baseball? And I think if you've got unlimited time and you really have no sort of like grounding or anchor to baseball at all, go back and listen to my old episodes. You could really take like a wild ride through the history of myself and baseball. Because a lot of the stuff I say I want to cover, I've actually already covered. I just want to cover it again. So it's all back there. Especially, I did two episodes, I think two separate episodes. I visited the Negro Leagues museums in both Kansas City and Birmingham, Alabama, and did episodes around those visits. So go back and check those out. Did an episode in my dad's living room where I broke down and had just a full emotional experience. So this podcast has been a real trip. It's been a real trip and a real cruise, you know, just really gone through my life in the past 3 years and through baseball, but through and without it. So here we are. But this week I was like, I don't know, you know, I mean, it's hard for me to stay away from the postseason, and I really was like just not feeling good about watching it, and not really feeling good about watching like sports at all, even though they're incredibly integral to like my life and my experience. And I just wasn't that into it. And then, you know what came along? The debates. And I was like, guess what I'm going to do? Instead of watching this debate, quote unquote debate, I'm going to watch baseball. And I started watching baseball. Also, I thought maybe the Twins were going to beat the Astros. Silly me. We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, I just like, hey, you know what was the one thing that could get me to watch baseball this season? A debate between those two people. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I got a freezer pack out of my freezer, put it under my laptop, hopped on over to the Reddit streams, and just had multiple tabs. I was doing like a great job with muting and unmuting, like listening to one game while I was watching the other one. And, you know, I will be totally honest, it felt good. It felt good to be into baseball again and be like tweeting with friends about baseball again. And so it was nice to feel good. It was nice to feel good for a minute. Hard to watch them celebrating and giving each other high fives and spitting and stuff, despite the fact that they're not throwing the ball around the horn, which is ridiculous at this point. It's just ridiculous. It made me feel good. I have no shame or guilt around hopping in at the postseason. None whatsoever. Nobody's going to shame me around that. And also, it is what it is. Like, it's happening. I'm going to watch it. I'm like, I'm in it. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to the games. So who knows? I'm also not paying for it. So I'm sure MLB hasn't given a shit about me, but if they hear that on this podcast, they'll probably come knocking on my door. So let's get into the rundowns, and I won't keep you too much longer, but it's great to see you all. Tampa Bay Rays versus the Toronto Blue Jays. The Tampa Bay Rays were ranked number one in this system. All these are three-game series, and they are played at the higher-ranked teams. The entire series played there. So the Tampa Bay Rays came in number one, and the upstart Toronto Blue Jays came in eighth. And the AL's top-seeded Tampa Bay Rays swept the up-and-coming Toronto Blue Jays behind stellar pitching. I will say just up top, it's hilarious to say that a team got swept in a three-game series. That's always going to crack me up. But in game one, Blake Snell, that's my sweet baby boy, Blake Snell, took a no-hitter into the sixth and recorded 9 strikeouts and 0 earned runs on the way to a 3-1 victory. In game two, the Rays' Tyler Glasnow recorded 8 Ks and 2 earned runs in 6 innings of work, while Hunter Renfro's grand slam in the second pushed the Rays out to a 7-0 lead on the way to an 8-2 victory. Both of the Blue Jays' runs came off solo home runs from catcher Danny Jansen, who bats 9th in the lineup. Not great. I was really happy to see the Blue Jays in there. They're a lot of fun. A young team with a lot of juniors on it. And it was a lot of fun. But I do love my Tampa Bay Rays. I just do. I just love my sweet baby Rays, you know? Also really enjoyed the amount. I didn't get to watch full games of this, but when they were going over the diagrams of the Tropicana roof and what constituted a home run and what was a foul ball, and what it was like, oh god, it was like watching a pinball machine or like playing mousetrap by yourself. It's very funny. It reminded me of one time I was playing wiffle ball in my neighbor's yard, and there were very large pine trees very close in, but he had this like ridiculously tall fence for some reason, and but we loved it because it really felt like an outfield fence for wiffle ball. But before they got the fence, somebody hit the ball into this pine tree, and I was trying to field it underneath, and I remember watching it and just seeing it like plinko its way down to me, and I was like, I got it. I kept my eyes on the ball, and then I caught it, and nobody believed me, even though I was right there. I had a chip on my shoulder about that for a long time. So there you go. The Tampa Bay Rays win the series 2-0 pretty handily. And then we've got the Oakland Athletics, my sweet baby Oakland A's, my sweet baby A's. I got my sweet baby Rays and my sweet baby A's. They were ranked 2nd in the versus the Chicago White Sox, who are ranked 7th. Oakland wins that series 2-1. The Sox took game one behind standout performances from their stars, pitcher Lucas Giolito and slugger Jose Abreu. Giolito had 8 strikeouts and 1 earned run over 7 perfect innings. He was perfect through seven. And Abreu hit a two-run homer in the third on the way to a 4-1 victory. And this was in Oakland. And the A's won the next two games behind timely hitting from stars like Tommy La Stella. Just want to point out, Tommy La Stella, Oakland A, former Los Angeles Angel in the postseason. Mike Trout, current and will always forever be Los Angeles Angel, once again not in the postseason. And Marcus Semien, who both homered in game two, and pinch hitter Chad Pinder, who knocked in the go-ahead runs on an RBI single in the fifth inning of game three to put up the A's for good. Also, just want to jump in with, if you don't know what an RBI is, it's a run batted in. So that means that he hit a single with somebody in scoring position. And in scoring position means they're on second or third. If you're on first, that's not scoring position. Second and third is scoring position. So RBI single. Otherwise, you would call it a single. Just a little bit of knowledge for anybody that's new here. The A's won game two by a score of 5-3 and game three, 6-4. Happy for my Oakland A's. I was happy to see the Chicago White Sox in the playoffs, in the postseason. I really wanted to see them go all the way. I just was like happy about it. Even though they've won a World Series in the past two decades, I was still into it. there's been, you know, Central League dominance by my hometownish team. And so it was just nice to see some more Central Leagues in there because it's just been, it's for the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, the Central League has just been one team and then the rest of them are rebuilding. So, you know, and the Royals, and then it swapped out. And so it's just, you know, it's just nice to see three Central League teams in the postseason. That's nice. Speaking of the Central League, we've got the Minnesota Twins, who were third, and the Houston Astros with a sub-500 record at six. Very fishy to me. The mistake-prone Twins lost the first two games of their series against the Astros to push their franchise playoff losing streak to 18 games, an all-time MLB record. The Twins and the Astros were what got me watching. I was like, I want to watch the Twins beat the Astros, and I guess that's on me. In game one, a two-out error by Twins shortstop Jorge Polanco in the ninth inning opened the door to a three-run inning by the Astros on the way to a 4-1 victory. That was an awful thing. I watched it happen, and I could not believe it. I also think the commentators were so stunned by it. I don't even know who it was. It was some boring white guy. It was like, and the Twins stay alive. Like, that's not how you would say that. The Astros stay alive. But man, Jorge Polanco, it's going to be a long off season because that was just a bonkers thing. And I've never played professionally, clearly, obviously. But I've definitely made throws like that and it doesn't feel good. So I can only imagine, all they had to do was get three outs and, they really needed that one. And he had plenty of time. He was the shortstop, and he just didn't plant his feet to make a good throw to second. And the second baseman was already planted on the bag. And, threw it into right field, and then the Astros just did not. They didn't let it pass them by, and then that was enough. That was all they needed, really, to go into the second game. And in game two, the Twins were down 2-1 in the eighth inning and starting to rally until pinch runner Byron Buxton got picked off at first, effectively ending the rally. So the Astros went on to win game two by a score of 3-1. After the game, the Astros, who somehow continue to perceive themselves as the victims of the 2017 and 2018 cheating scandal and not its perpetrators, tweeted this from their official account. Stay mad, we'll stay winning. For the H. People are mad. People don't want to see us here. What are they going to say now? We're a solid team. We won a series on the road in Minnesota. So what are they going to say now? That's Carlos Correa. Many people have a lot of thoughts about Carlos Correa. I would say you're cheaters and you played a team that made some mistakes and you took advantage of it. So I'm curious to see how you guys do against the Oakland Athletics. And I could not be pulling for a team harder than I am for the Oakland Athletics when that starts. And also, like, just happy for the Athletics to have a a chance at revenge. I hope they're able to take it. We shall see, and more will be revealed. But holy shit, Athletics, please put up a fight at least, because like, how in the, I don't understand. I mean, I guess that's the only way you can get through that is by like cheating on such a level that you almost, I mean, you had to have the commissioner and all the owners on your side, which as a player, I would be just devastated to have that as my like team, basically. And then to just like thumb your nose at all of it. Come on. It's, humility is a short, it's there's not a lot of it to go around, is what I'm trying to say. So then moving on to the Yankees, the New York Yankees, who were ranked 4, and Cleveland baseball team, who was ranked 5. The Yankees swept Cleveland behind the big bats of Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and the timely hitting of Gary Sanchez and DJ LeMahieu. I would also add to bench coach Brett's brilliant notes, Gio Urshela's revenge, which sounds maybe worse than it is. he was traded to Toronto for cash and a player to be named later by Cleveland. But they had too many infielders. They have Jose Ramirez and they had Jason Kipnis and Francisco Lindor. They didn't have a place for him. So also Gleyber Torres and Brett Gardner. the Yankees won game one by a score of 12-3 against probable Cy Young Award winner Shane Bieber. Judge and Stanton both homered. I did not watch this game. I have heard from many people it was over before it started. Just a sad thing to see happen to someone who had such a great year in Shane Bieber. And I wonder if this changes his Cy Young award. It probably won't, just because there's no one even close to his stats. But sometimes that does happen where, you know, the Cy Young is for the regular season. But I do think that first round postseasons can affect that. So we'll see. I doubt it in this case because he was running away with it. But that just goes to show that like only seeing one division and then, you know, playing an evenly ranked team outside of your division, it would have maybe paid off to have Shane Bieber start the second game. But whatever. I don't question. I do question Sandy Alomar, him pulling Josh Naylor for Jordan Luplow. It worked out, but I also think, what if Josh Naylor hits a 3-run home run and we have a different game on our hands for game two? And the Yankees came back to win game two by a score of 10-9 after a 9th-inning rally led by Sanchez and LeMahieu. Just some small ball. Sanchez hit a sac fly that was long enough to score and tie up the game. And then DJ LeMahieu hit a Ben Zobrist style double up the middle. There was also a rain delay. This game, it was almost 10-8. and this game was way too close to the 2016 game 7 in Cleveland for my liking. Chapman even showed up, and Cesar Hernandez hit a first pitch fastball. Oh God, it was way too close for me. So then we've got in the National League, the LA Dodgers ranked number 1 by about a mile versus the Milwaukee Brewers ranked 8. The Dodgers completed an efficient sweep of the Brewers behind a solid pitching performance from Walker Buehler in game 1. Solid might be a stretch. He's battling blisters, which to you, a person who doesn't pitch, might sound like not too much, but when essentially your whole job is the way a baseball flies off of your fingertips, it's a big deal to have a blister on one of them. and a vintage gem from Clayton Kershaw in game 2, with Kershaw tossing 13 Ks, one walk, which came right after the announcer mentioned that no one had ever thrown that many strikeouts with no walks in a postseason game, and 0 earned runs in 8 innings of work. The Dodgers' hitting was not dominant in the series, which reminds me of every postseason that the Dodgers have been in since 2015, since I've been watching, really, but managed to be on time. In game 1, Mookie Betts and Corey Seager led the way with 3 runs and 2 RBIs between them. That's runs batted in. on the way to a 4-2 victory. Also, just want to mention that Chris Taylor's got his 2017 splits back. He's hitting like 392 with runners in scoring position and something like 360 or something with no one on base. So pretty good. In game two, the Dodgers won 3-0 by scoring all their runs in the fifth inning. Something else the Dodgers love to do, including a 2-RBI double by Betts. In game two, the Dodgers won 3-0 by scoring all their runs in the fifth inning. Very efficient. I'm being sarcastic. Including a 2-RBI double by Betts, Brewers pitchers Brandon Woodruff and Josh Hader otherwise put together impressive outings, with Woodruff logging 9 Ks in 4.2 innings and Hader with 2 strikeouts in 1.1 innings of work. Brandon Woodruff looking just like he did in 2018 in Milwaukee against the Dodgers and against Clayton Kershaw. Also, if you remember, he hit a home run off of Clayton Kershaw. Glad that couldn't happen anymore with the universal DH. And then we've got Atlanta versus the Cincinnati Reds, and Atlanta, that baseball team, was ranked number 2 and the Reds coming in at 7. Remarkably, it was Atlanta's pitching, not their hitting, that earned them the sweep of the Reds. Atlanta outlasted the Reds in game 1, winning 1-0 in 13 innings. Just side note to anybody that's not fully paying attention to the postseason, I wasn't either. They no longer have the runners on second in the 10th inning rule for the postseason. So it will be as long as it needs to be for the postseason. In 13 innings on a walk-off RBI single from Freddie Freeman, the game set a record for the longest scoreless postseason game, with the first run not coming until the bottom of the 13th. The teams also combined for a postseason record of 37 strikeouts. The pitching exhibition started with 7 scoreless innings from Cy Young candidates Trevor Bauer for the Reds and Max Fried for Atlanta, and eventually included appearances from 14 total pitchers between the two teams. And then Atlanta won that second game, blanking Cincinnati yet again. So Cincinnati has like a 15-game streak scoreless in postseason play, something like that. It's not notated, so I'm not 100% correct. And I don't feel like pausing the podcast to look it up. So you can look it up and scream at me in your... Oh, you don't go to cubicles. We don't have cubicles anymore. There's one little silver lining for the pandemic. And then we've got the Chicago Cubs ranked number 3 versus the Miami Marlins at 6. Currently, the Marlins lead the series 1-0. The Miami Marlins shocked the surging Chicago Cubs with a 5-1 win in game 1 as Miami scored all 5 runs in the 7th inning behind homers from Corey Dickerson and Jesus Aguilar. Game 2 was postponed due to weather on Thursday and will be played Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that's happening right now. And the score is 2-0, Miami, bottom of the 7th. Miami looking to take out the Chicago Cubs in the first round. Insert Michael J. Fox saying, against Miami? From Back to the Future Part 2, right there. Then, perhaps, in my eyes, the most exciting series so far, and I only really watched the game from last night, we've got the San Diego Padres ranked 4 versus the St. Louis Cardinals, who are ranked 5. And the series is tied 1-1. In perhaps the most compelling series of the wild card round, me and bench coach Brett are always on the same page, the page he sends me to read. The veteran St. Louis Cardinals are battling the breakout San Diego Padres in a tied series. After St. Louis took game 1 by a score of 7-4 and zoomed out to a 4-0 lead by the second inning of game 2, it looked like they would cruise to a sweep. But the Padres, the MLB's best late-game offensive team this year, came alive with a barrage of home runs that started in the 6th. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Will Myers both homered twice, the first duo to do that in the playoffs since little-known duo Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in the 1932 World Series, and Manny Machado also homered on the way to an 11-9 victory. Game 3 is Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and the winner of this series will go on to play the Dodgers. Very exciting. The Rays and the Yankees are playing each other. If you're a big baseball head, you know what a grudge match that is. Plus the Astros versus the Athletics. Grudge match versus grudge match versus grudge match. My Dodger friends really want the Cardinals instead of the Padres. I just can't help but be on the dad wagon, though. You know, I was on the Cespedes Barbecue, the baseball barbecue podcast, arguing that the Dodgers are going to win simply based on the fact that I can't go see them play. So they're also on the dad wagon. So consider me on the dad wagon this year. I don't care. I just don't care about, like, you know, liking other teams that aren't my team. I'm here to have fun. I'm here to have fun and keep my mask on and be considerate of others. That's what I'm here to do. So this is where we're at this week in baseball. If you're not into it, I get it. If you're into it, I get it. Here we are. Let's have fun. Let's take care of each other. And I love you.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.